Heavenly Father, we're again grateful that you've given us not only liberty in this land to come together to worship, but you've given us also the ability to finance a place to worship in, Lord. But above all that, we're glad that you put the desire in our hearts by the baptism with the Holy Ghost to come to hear your word, O Lord, and we trust that it shall be life unto us this morning, O God, that the very life of the word, the very life giver that gave the word, release the force of his own life within us in this season, O God, that not only is able to surmount every problem in this life, O God, which is certainly fine, but to rather to give thee glory, Lord, in a way that just the surmounting of problems do not do, except those problems be surmounted, be those within our own hearts and souls as we give way to the Holy Ghost. Help us to yield ourselves to you in all respects, dear Lord. Help us in our study this morning, doctrinally, Lord, we might understand more Christ, the great mystery of God revealed. And we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, the message this morning is simply entitled Seed. And in speaking of seed, that's S-E-E-D, seed, I want to turn to Matthew 13, 24 to 30, and then read the explanation or the interpretation of the parable that he gave here in the sower in the seed. And he says here, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. And while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. And the servants said unto him, wilt thou then we go and gather them up? Let's rip them up, see? He said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow until the harvest, and in time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And in 36 you see the revelation, the interpretation. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us, or thoroughly tell us, you know, in words, because the words had been veiled in a parable. In other words, lead this forth clearly by words. The parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked. One, the enemy that sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them in the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the Son and the King of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, many things could be said about that, but I don't intend to go into the parable itself except to say that there can be no doubt that these verses that I have read refer to Genesis 3, 1 to 16, and also 1 John 3 and 12. So let's go to Genesis 3, 1 to 16. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden. Now we know who Eve was. She was taken from the side of Adam, and she is a child of God, as even Adam was the son of God. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called on Adam, and he said, then where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is it thou hast done? The woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. He seduced her. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt eat all the days of life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow with thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And now it says in 1 John 3:12, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. So what you're seeing here is the beginning of creation of the human race and the interjection amongst the children of God of a subspecies that is not of the true human race that God created, and they are known as tares. They are in contradistinction to the wheat as the children of God, and they are definitely called to be the children of Satan, in that Satan used the serpent, who is almost identical to a man, to bring forth that first person Cain. Now, in here there is also no doubt that the God Elohim of Genesis 1, who was in Christ, according to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, was speaking in his human form of Son of Man, for he says the sower or the planter or the creator of wheat men is the Son of Man. So what you're seeing there then is that the pre-existence or God himself in the form of humanity. Because we know that in Genesis it says God or Elohim, El or Elah, whichever you want to use there, created the heaven and the earth and all that in them is, and very definitely he created and formed man. So here we find Hebrews 13:8 in totality. Jesus is saying that he is Jehovah of the Old Testament, that he is now the same Jehovah of the New. He is telling them that he is the I Am of Moses in the burning bush, and the one who redeemed Israel from their destruction. So Jesus is now claiming to be, according to what he says over here in the parable, he's claiming to be Genesis 1:26-28. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. But it says nothing about the tares. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, reproduce yourselves, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl thereof, every living thing that moves upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. Now, also the 2nd chapter, verse 7. And God, the Lord God, formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The first one is creation. The second one is the forming from that which is already created and bringing it to light. So Jesus is claiming to be the same one in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. Now, it's specifically said that the tares are the children of the wicked one. And the question is, how did they get here? They got here by mingling the seed. That's right. They got here by mingling the seed. Because in a literal sense, the woman is necessary with the man to produce seed. So she produces 50% of the seed. When you're looking at the product, which is a person. And we'll show you that word seed can be used in that regard. So how did they get here? They got here by mingling the seed. The serpent was so close to a man he could actually substitute for a man, and Cain was born. The church denies this. And of course, I suppose also science denies it, but the church denies it, though it is said in Scripture, as we just read a while ago in 1 John 3, Cain was of that wicked one. And you'll notice that Jesus did not change what John said, when John got it from Jesus, in chapter 8 of St. John, verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in fornication. I mean, abode not in the truth. That word fornication came to my mind, because up here they were saying, we be not born of fornication. Can't think of two things at one time too well. Now, here the people are denying that they are serpent seed in this 8th chapter, because they said, we are not born of fornication. The Jews absolutely believed. And there is a book of James that is extant, but not in the holy canon of Scripture, that positively tells of Joseph when Mary was found 6 months pregnant. And he cried unto God and he said, woe is me, the same thing has happened to me as it happened to Adam. So therefore we know that traditionally, truly, the people of God knew where Cain came from. Now the theologians can blind their eyes. Science has also denied this on the grounds that a hybrid thing cannot breed itself back. But in this particular case, it could and does. But today, science has to backtrack in the face of genetic splicing or genetic engineering. And they can produce any cross they want to, so that an animal can be produced as a subhuman, where you could take a chimpanzee or some higher order and cross it with the male or the human race and bring forth a subhuman, which you could use for laboratory tests, or you could use as slaves, which man has always wanted to have. And the only reason it's not being done now is because there is spiritual pressure. And the Bible speaks of the end time, the mingling of the seed. Although that has a spiritual meaning apart from this. Also, we understand that science can now take and genetically produce from a virus and a plant, get the genes and splice them together, and then get just about anything they want. As I said, this, no doubt, is the mingling of the seed spoken of the Bible in one of its meanings, because all Scripture has various meanings, and they will do whatever they want. Now, this brings me to the thought, therefore, of seed. Because a plant has to have a seed. Let the earth bring forth the plants, everything, that have a seed within themselves. In other words, they reproduce through a seed form, bringing forth into manifestation the life that is there, which cannot be seen. Now, the Greek for both words, sperma and spora, one of which is sperma, you understand that, spora, having to do with flowers and things, the spores, that's a, you know, little cell, came from a common root word, spiro, which means to scatter or sow or receive seed. So therefore, the root word is sowing. What do you sow? You sow a seed. The land receives a seed, the garden plot. So therefore, you get the understanding of seed. So a female would receive seed from a male. The plants out there in cross-pollination also receive, in order to bring forth what we call a legitimate seed, which may be more legitimately called a grain. See? Okay. Now, the idea we are getting from this is that all life on earth has a common principle. It's called a common life principle, and that in the Greek is Zoe, which we know to be the life principle and which we are dealing with. Now, Zoe, as a life principle, is all the way from God to the least of all life. It's a life principle. So I want you to remember that and never forget it. In the Hebrew, it is zera, which means a fruit or a plant or posterity. It's where you get the thought of a seed. Again, it lines with Zoe. Now, this does not say that Elohim himself is Zoe. Elohim is called the living God. See? But what it is saying about God and Zoe is this, as it says in John 1, the first chapter, the fourth verse. In him was life. Now, if God is living, you know that in him is life. He's not a corpse, he's not dead. He's not somebody who doesn't have life. So when the Bible distinctly tells you that you know already the living God, in him was life, you know he's talking about something else. And when you understand that Zoe is life principle from God, even called eternal Zoe, to the little plant that dies, as the grass that withers and burned in an oven, you know he's not speaking of his own life. He is speaking of that which is within him to produce that and be identified with it. That's what you're looking at. Let's look at John 5 and 26 before we go to John 6. Now, and as the Father has life in himself, see? So hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. So you're not talking just in the terms of the one attribute of life, which is Spirit, the living God who is truly Spirit. You have to be looking at something else. And when you're looking at that word Zoe out here, and the Holy Spirit wrote this carefully, using the exact words that he wanted, because every word has the power of God in it and the life in it, then you know there is an association that he is dealing with that came from him, and he associated with it. That's why the devil can't create. No way he can create. Can't make life, can't make a thing. He can only use what is there. And this is why science hates to attribute to God life. And this is where the Hindus and the rest go overboard. As though God is Zoe. God is not Zoe. God had within him the Zoe. God being Spirit means that God would have to create something. Because out here is what you see, and you understand the Zoe. You do not look, and no one looks beyond the tree when you talk of life. You equate it to it absolutely. Now, you know, truthfully, there is something you don't see. But you don't care 2 cents about that, actually. You're not interested. You're interested in the manifestation, and you deal solely with the manifestation, knowing there is something behind it that doesn't bug you one little bit. Because what's behind it, you don't care, because that does not enter into your realm. It's what is manifested enters in your realm. See, now there is a life out there that says poison ivy. But you know what that life is, unless you saw the manifestation of poison ivy. And there's poison oak out there, too. There's an oak tree out there, too. And you love to climb the oak tree, but you wouldn't kind of climb the poison oak. There's a big difference. But you don't care 2 bits about the life per se. And yet, how is it there's a life that'll bring forth a poison, and a life in this, and the same Zoe won't bring forth poison? See, God did it all, but it went skewed up. The briars and the thorns and the cactus, all those things out there, is a skewed up thing. Okay, let's go to John 6 and 57. And as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Now he said, I live by the Father, and yet let's face it, he was a Zoe person and eating fruits and nuts and maybe roots and vegetables and a lot of things. Cooked, baked, and otherwise. But he said, I live by the Father. So therefore, you see, when you talk of life, and a Zoe life, a Zoe principle, you got to put it right where God is, but you got to be careful as far as I understand this. All right, the invisible that can't be seen by man God. What kind of a God is he? That can't be seen by mankind. So therefore, the invisible can't be seen by man God, has within him the ability and purpose to become a part of his own living Zoe creation, a part of the animate and sensate creation by taking on a form that is both animate and sensate as we understand it in our universe. Now, God has the ability, because of his own life, to take on a form of that which he created out here, of the substance and a manifestation. Now, that's what you're looking at. The same thing he made for you and me and made of you and me, he can take a part of it. Now, you notice I said he became a part of the animate. But he can also become a part with the inanimate. Now, let's examine that. Now, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and therefore that holy thing born of thee shall be called a Son of God. And he is known as the only begotten Son of God. They say Adam was the Son of God. He was, but he was not the begotten Son of God. No, sirree. When you talk of begetting, you talk of a literal issuing forth, as it were, from the loins of Almighty God in order to bring forth a child. So what did he do? He took of his entire attributes and reduced it to what might be an infinitesimal speck of it. Creating an egg and a sperm, putting them together, and that life now working in there. And that life is animate, whether it's spirit or not. Animate signifies life. Inanimate signifies a lack of life. So what now happens in the womb? This life in there now takes the inanimate substances that Mary provides by her bloodstream. It may be the substance was once living and is now dead, but it is an animate. So therefore he is able, God is able, his own life which he took and placed there, reducing himself to that form and that shape, takes the animate and the inanimate and associates himself with it. And I hope you're seeing what I'm talking about, the resurrection. He's going to take everything and bring it back. Oh, people still think there's some kind of a being that's not going to be here the way they are in a new sphere. You leave here just the way you are, in your mind, in your soul, in your spirit. Geography changes. You come back exactly, but a brand new body in a brand new condition. Didn't necessarily want to say that, but I have to say some of these things to make it all the clearer. He takes the inanimate, as he did in the virgin birth by his own spirit, infuses it as sperm and egg with life, and a fetus is formed that grows by inanimate minerals or substances that once lived and are now dead. And that's Emmanuel, God with us. And that's Zoe. That is not Elohim spirit by himself. That is God using a life principle, which man has life principle in order to man. Has that thing gone haywire? I put it down about 65. Let's put it down to 35. Because I'm hot up here and you're nodding on me. When you do that, it just proves the atmosphere wasn't created. I lied to you. I kind of hit your heart, but that's what it's all about. You listen or don't bother coming. That's pretty well. I'm not trying to be a nice guy. I'm trying to show you things here, brother, sister, from what Brother Branham taught. Because I don't have that flame of fire, the testimony to Jesus Christ for nothing. This is my life. And I don't try to look at things for the sake of looking at them and try to probe and find out. I look because there's something in here that reaches out. When it stops reaching, and I want to be dead. I'm bawling out, just letting you know the facts here. So I got to get another building and get this thing lined up, because I don't want you too hot. We don't come here to sweat when we don't have to sweat. All right. God can take an animate angel and indwell him. He can take a man animate, a prophet, and indwell him. That is why we find Jesus in Revelation 3 with the last great revelation of himself as the beginning of the creation of God, and the prophet explained it absolutely as God creating himself in human flesh. God creating himself in human flesh. Now, what does that mean? It means that God deliberately created flesh to live in. And it was God himself doing it by the institution that he allowed in the male and the female to procreate. But it was not a part of man. Mary had nothing to do with it except to supply the nutrients. And that's exactly how it was that she produced seed. But woman doesn't have seed. And the male couldn't supply a seed in this case. God did it. Now, the beginning of creation of God. God, who formed himself into human flesh, is now about to bring down the capstone of flesh in which he had formed himself, now in a glorified state, over all creation for eternity. Now, he's about to do it. Now, we're still talking about seed. But you got the thought, haven't you? Seed takes on a human form. Let's go to Isaiah, chapter 65, and 17 to 18. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall no more be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Now, that's what you're looking at. The eternity of God, which is also Zoe. See? Now, brother, sister, let's face it. In the New Jerusalem, the streets are made of gold that are like glass, but it's made of gold. There is a sea that is like crystal. There are nations out there that will be working and toiling to bring their glory in. You're looking at a super civilization. God's civilization. I shouldn't even use the term civilization because there comes the word civil. I should use the word kingdom as God's. Now, what I talked about here, this capstone of flesh coming down. Remember, the spiritual capstone did come down. This is the seventh seal, the redemption of the bride body according to Ephesians 1, 17 to 23. Now, that's what you're looking at. So we go to Ephesians. Now, this is a spiritual capstone that has come down now to get us ready for the physical, where we meet the Lord in the air. Remember, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, trump of God. Now, let's read it in the 17th verse, Ephesians. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, it tells you absolutely, the Son speaking, that you cannot get a revelation of the Son apart from the Father giving it. Then who is going to give the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Father, which is the Holy Ghost. So when the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, who is going to descend? Elohim is going to descend. What is the revelation going to be about? Christ, the mystery of God. All about how God reduced himself into human form. And what he did and what he's doing now. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised from the dead, and sent him his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and powers, and so on. That's resurrection. So, all right. The resurrection is already in progress in the sense that it is triggered by the revelation, which in 1 Thessalonians is called the shout. Now, with that, you're looking at 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. We've looked at this many, many times, but we just look at it again because we can never get enough of it. It's just like strawberries and cream. If you're not allergic to it, you'll just eat it every day. If you're allergic to this, you won't like this every day. I'm not allergic to these scriptures. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first within the steps, verse 20. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now that's the promise of the resurrection. Now the Old Testament saints in him have already been made alive. They're gone out of here. but every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Afterward, those that are Christ that he's coming. Now remember, Christ could not have been the first fruits to Israel. Because he came after them. He's the one that led them out. I may be getting a little off on this, but not according to my thinking. I want to show you a point. Who would he be the first fruits to? You and me. He was the first fruits to them, but not like he is to you and me. See? Because why? He's the first one risen from the dead, and we are the ones that now look to him having risen. They were looking forward. So that's what I'm trying to tell you here. There's a difference in the two of them. So therefore, we are looking at his presence in this 23rd verse. Then cometh the end. And it tells you the church must be set in order. Now notice that between verse 23, those that are Christ at his presence, there is a whole interpolation of verses 24 to 34. So let's leave it out. Let's read it this way. But every man in his own order. Talking about the resurrection of the dead. Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they raised Christ in his presence. But some will say, how are the dead raised up? Now that's the question for this hour. With what body do they come? Fool, thou which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. Now what's he talking about? He'll tell you what he's talking about. That which thou sowest. Thou sowest not that body that shall be, but a bare grain. Now notice what he's saying. You are sowing a grain. You are sowing a seed that's going to produce a body. Now, you sow sperm, it'll produce a body. Right. You take that dead body, produce nothing. Produce nothing. Hasn't got it. The human sperm hasn't got it. So therefore, unless you are somehow linked up to Zoe of God, you're just Zoe out here. You come in as manure, you go out as manure. That's all. No way. Now he says here, bare grain, it may be wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as it pleased him, and to every seed his own body. So therefore, in every seed there is a body. Therefore, if God had within him a seed, he's got to have a body. Now the point is, did he have within him a seed? You better believe he did. Now your human mind goes, oh, looks like that. I know it does. Forget it. I'm not into human minds anymore, ministering truth. Is Jesus the seed of God or is he not? Where did he say he came from? Where did he say he was going? Where is the word? Then did he or did he not? Did you say what you want? Don't care what anybody thinks. You got to come back to where it is. Then he said, all flesh are not the same flesh. There's one flesh of men. That comes by a seed. There's one flesh of beasts. That comes by a seed. One of fishes. That comes by seed. One of birds. That comes by seed. Then the celestial bodies, terrestrial bodies. That's to place the believers in the kingdom. There's going to be one glory, another glory. There's the God at the top of the pillar of fire. There's the Lamb. There's the bride. There's those outside. Oh, no, pardon me. There's the 144,000. And then there's those outside. And then there's beyond them and beyond them. There's kings and everything else out there. And everything is in the glory. And here Christ is here in the form of the Holy Ghost, headship over the church. And they say, so what? Let me tell you something. There is no way the Holy Ghost baptism or 1 billion people or all the whole world together baptized with the Holy Ghost can ever produce the divine order that God wants of his church. Because everybody thinks he's got the Holy Ghost of squabbling and he's got his own ideas. And there's nobody identified with the truth except the genuine identified prophet showing that God is on the scene doing it. Like that picture. You can do what you want, but I stand on that. And I live or die or sink and swim by the fact that is the same thing. That is the Son of Man, the sign of the Son of Man. He said, I don't believe it. You don't have to believe anything. Who cares? I'm creating another atmosphere now. That's for a purpose of getting you on your middle. You go any way you want. But you don't sit on a fence around here. Or sit under a tree and think, well, I can get up and run. When the time comes, you're either running now, kid, or you ain't running, ever going to run. It's that simple. Amen. See, how do you know? Because I'm not exactly stupid. All right. It says here now, so is also the resurrection of the dead. It comes from a seed. It doesn't come from the body. You're going to get a new body. You won't get that same old body. Now it's going to have the same materials. But a creative act of God. Sown in corruption, raised in corruption. Sown in dishonor, raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. Sown in a natural body, raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, there is a spiritual body. You bet there is. There's a natural body right now, and there's a spirit body you go to if you die, and there's a spiritual body you're going to have when you come back here, which is Zoe. The life of God in a vessel that man was allowed to bring upon earth in order to complete the purpose and plan of God by redemption and give him glory. It gives him a reason and purpose of being. So it's written, the first man, Adam, was a living soul, the last Adam, a quickening spirit. So who's going to quicken you? Your seed's got to be quickened to get that new body. Howbeit, that was not first his spirit, that which is natural, after it was spiritual. This first man is the earth, this second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, they that are earthy, and as the heavenly, they that are heavenly. Depend on what group you're from. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither corruption inherit the incorruption. All right, we're looking at that right now. It's in process. This resurrection is seen in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, 9 to 13. Chapter 6. 9 to 13. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but and understand not, see indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and be converted and be healed. Then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be waste without inhabitants, and the houses without man, and the land utterly desolate. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there shall be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. And it shall be a tent, and it shall return, and shall be eaten, and a cedar tree as an oak, whose substance in them, when they cast leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. It tells you right here, this is the book of Revelation, the third chapter. They're rich in Christian goods. They think they're right inside of God's plan, God's pocket. They're going to make it. And he said, you're wretched, miserable, blind, and don't know it. And he said, at this time, there's utter destruction and the great tribulation, but the seed is going to be the substance. Now, are you a seed or not? No, you're human seed. That's fine. But where did it come from? What was it Brother Branham asked? Where were they before I got them? Well, they were reduced to sperm and an egg. His daughter was a part of his own body. Where were they before? See, Psalm 89. Just reading some of these psalms here on the resurrection. Because it's part of the resurrection, we're looking at it. The seed is going to have it. It's the seed that's planted. It brings up the body. All right. 89 and 4. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders. I beg your pardon. Thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. Who's going to have the throne? Son of David. Who's he? He's the seed. Not of seed as of many, but one as of Christ. Okay. 29th verse. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. Now you can take that both ways. That's for him, that's for us. 31. Then will I visit, if they break thy statutes. No, see, I want to. I guess I missed that one. 29. His seed returned forever, and he's thrown to him. Another verse I want, but I've misplaced it here at this point. But it has to do with the seed. That's what we're looking at in the resurrection. Because Corinthians talks of the seed being resurrected. He said, what body will it come with? It all depends on what seed you've got in you. And that all depends on where that seed came from. Because you didn't just get it. It was transferred on down. That's why the genealogy of Christ goes come back to Adam. As far as the carrier of the flesh was concerned, from the tribe of Judah, the kingly tribe, and a prophetic tribe, not a priest tribe. He even bypassed the Levites, though he did fill the office of Levite by presenting blood, because Melchizedek did not present blood. He presented emblems of blood. So Christ was the great high priest in the tradition of Aaron when he took his blood up there. But from now on, it was what? Melchizedek, because emblems are used. Doesn't keep shedding blood. And now that he's on the throne, climbed on the throne, the body, Christ climbed on the throne, absolutely perfect, king of righteousness, king of peace. What do you think he brought? Vengeance for the church. Righteous bride of Christ. You don't have a tremor, you don't have a fear. Now, seed is one of the hardest things to understand. I was more fought on this perhaps than anything, except I'm fought in the presence now. But the church age book never was understood. I wrote it, I understand it. It is going on now. The very thing we're talking about is in progress. It is in Isaiah, the 30th chapter. Hopefully I'm right here. Beginning at 21. No, see. Well, let me see. I get first of all here. Isaiah 59. Yeah, Isaiah 59, 20. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgressions in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor of the mouth of thy seed, nor the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Now, when did that ever take place except this hour? Every single one. Now, continuity-wise, the seed has always said the word of God. I agree. In the seven ages of both the Old and New Testament, there has never been a time when the seed did not have the word, because that identifies them. But when you look at what I'm looking at, the Redeemer and Zion, there is a people in this hour that take that word, never lose it, and go straight on in. Just exactly like at the time of the Exodus of Moses. The only ones that went in. And notice the old-timers all died off, except a couple of them. It was only the young ones. Why? What does the young ones mean? Those, I don't care how what age they are. To me, the young ones are those that did not have the training of the organization in such a manner that they could not give it up. All right. We were looking at Zoe, the life principle, because seed is life principle. You say, how's the life principle? Without seed, where are you going to get it? Where are you going to get it? See? Now, so we're going to talk about seed. Now, the life principle of seed, we saw in the three sermons I preached previously, in Genesis 1, 11, 12, and 28 to 29. So let's go back to Genesis. And remember, Genesis is where we get all of our thinking from. If we're going to have any continuity in the Bible, it's got to start right back here. This is where the opening of the seventh seal under the prophet William Branham is of the great help to us. All right, 11th verse. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed. Now the seeds were already there, or there wouldn't have been a body. No plants. And the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And so it was. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind. And you notice, yielding seed after his kind. Yielding seed after his kind. And when Adam looked around and numbered the beasts, there was no wife for him after his kind. Because that's what the word meat means. Everybody out of a certain seed had, they were two sexes. Heterosexual, you may say. Now, with that, we go to 28 and 29. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth. Had to mean the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air. And over every living thing that moves upon the earth. God said, behold, I've given you every herb-bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree, in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. Now, and we saw the same life principle of seed in the animal kingdom, of which is the highest order. For in Genesis, the third chapter, 14 and 15, and the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go and dust eat all days of life, and I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. So the principle goes to the animal kingdom. Genesis 4, 1 day. And Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was the keeper of the sheep, and Cain the tiller of the ground. In process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering of the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstling of his flock of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Now notice Abel and his offering. Now we should put it this way, to his offering and then Abel. Esau have I hated, and Jacob have I loved. You can see right here predestination, the election of Almighty God, the choosing of God, the loving of God, in contradistinction to the other. Right here. He did not choose the offering, he chose the person. And because he chose the person, he had an offering suitable to him. If you are chosen of God, you don't need to worry. The offering has been set. Your sins are gone. If you're not elect, you've got plenty to worry about. It's just that simple. Either a wheat or a tear. He took respect unto Abel and his offering. And unto Cain and his offering didn't have respect. But Cain was accountable. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Didn't create the right atmosphere, see? Create the wrong atmosphere. Now, the right atmosphere you create may bring trouble to you. Don't worry, God will take care of you. On this side and the other side, too. If thou, and so God said to him, why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? Your mouth all curled down. If you do well, shalt thou not be accepted? In other words, he says right here, he said, you've offered right, but you've divided wrong. He said the offering's a good offering, but he said it's in the wrong place. You don't have a revelation on it. But he said, if you listen, and he couldn't listen, why? There was no room in him for the word, because his father had a place for a soul and didn't have a soul. And his seed, though having a soul, have no place for the word. That's exactly what it says in John 8. The reason you don't hear my words, you got no place for it. Now, that's a sweeping condemnation to preachers. And being a preacher, I think I've got every right to stand up and preach against preachers. And many of them have no understanding at all about this. One man, until he turned on this, could preach a pretty good message. Last time I heard him, I wouldn't walk across the street to hear him again. Nothing to tell me. He's up there flashing the rainbow or something. I'm a meat and potatoes guy, brother, sister. I'm Zoe down here. When Jesus came back from the dead, he ate a fish sandwich. I'm a fish sandwich guy. I'm not a rainbow eater. I don't chase butterflies. I'm not a bird. I'm going to guzzle butterflies. Chase a good fish sandwich. A roast beef. I like all kinds of vegetables. I must admit I like Thai, too. I don't eat too much. I'm not supposed to. You see, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother, It came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. They're half-brothers. All right? Here you can see life principle in the seed and in the animal and the hybrid. And here is the point I want to get at. Sparrow, sperma, spora. Have one principle. Life in the seed, life by the seed, and the seed formed into whatever body is also called seed. So it's life in the seed. I mean, every touch of a woman's womb, it's got life in it, just the same. But when it gets there and touches the egg, then it's life by the seed. And when the baby comes forth, it is seed. All signifying life. See? Seed of Abraham. Isaac, the seed of Abraham. It is the same in the Hebrew as the Greek. In other words, the Old Testament, same as the New. Thus we look at Genesis 2, 7 to 9. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed in breath of life, in nostril breath of life. Man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. There he put the man whom he had formed. Remember, man was formed outside the garden. And the garden was God's headquarters. So therefore, man was instantly fallible. Innocent but fallible. Innocent and not righteous. Able to be deceived. A son of God. Put from the outside to the inside. Showing that as you are of the earth, earthy, you will come into this body wherein was the tree of life that would make you immortal. That's why he was put there. That's why we returned to Eden, to get to the place where we're going to be immortal. Follow. And out of the ground the Lord God made you every tree that's pleasant to sight and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. All right, 16 and 17. And the Lord God said, command the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for the day you eat thereof, in that day you shall surely die. All right. These two trees of which it is not said they came out of the ground are the life principle. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. They did not come out of the ground. It didn't say the Lord made God and brought them out of the ground. It said they were in the middle of the garden. Doesn't say they were planted. It said they were there. But they're trees. They are life principle, just like all the rest of nature or creation. Here we see Zoe principle and seed principle. Or the Zoe, life of the tree in a seed, waiting to come forth into manifestation. Now, what was the life in the tree? Eternal life, immortality. Now, how's it going to come into manifestation? By a seed. Because it's supposed to reproduce itself. Didn't he say it's in there to reproduce itself and for food? How are you going to get the food except to reproduce itself? Across the tree, a bride tree coming up. Seven church ages. Old Testament, seven new. Coming right up. Okay, here we see the Zoe principle and seed principle. The Zoe, life of the tree in a seed, because that's what it says there, waiting to come forth into manifestation. Now that's to repeat or multiply itself. That's what seed is all about, to repeat or to multiply itself. Now, Adam and Eve, and especially Eve, had the choice of either tree. And I say especially Eve, because she was the one talked to by the serpent. Had the choice of either tree, for they were able, like all nature, to propagate naturally by life. All nature can propagate. They could propagate. And she had a choice of the seed. Because life is in the seed. So there had to be a seed. Now, woman, walk up to a tree and rub yourself against it. See how far you get except for splinters. That's not that kind of a tree. No way. because seed is identified. And remember, the one seed was taken away because the other seed got there. He took out the tree of life. But the tree of knowledge of good and evil had a seed, a like principle. And the like principle identified with the serpent. And he planted the seed. She had the choice. Notice Genesis 2:18. The Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I'll make an helpmeet for him." 21 and on. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. He slept. Took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead. That's the first anesthetic in operation. That's what I think Simpson worked on when he discovered ether. Or was it chloroform? The rib from which the woman was taken, he made a woman. Brought her to Adam, the man. Said, "This is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. And she'll be called woman because she was taken out of the man." So the man was the first mother. There, this is a good Father's Day message I'm preaching, whether you know it or not. "Therefore, shall a man leave his mother, father, and mother, and cleave to his wife, and they'll be one flesh." And God said right here, "You're going to leave me for her." And he did. The warning was there. That's exactly why it's put on a free moral issue. And the free moral issue is this. You know from God what you should do, and you don't do it. Don't tell me Baker didn't know not to do it. And don't tell me I don't know not to do it. And don't tell me you don't know not to do it, because you do know not to do it, and you do know what to do. You're on a free moral agency all the time. Because in the soul is the choice. And if God's in that soul, it'll be more and more toward God, and more and more toward God. And that's killing that old soul, so to speak, or putting it away. And I'm not talking about the real old soul, because the real old soul, that's a gene of God. So I don't know what a lot of people are talking about, this soul and that soul. I can't help you on that. All right. The two trees, these two trees, Adam and Eve, could have brought forth children like themselves by the true life principle of God himself, and the tree of life, and the children be immortal in the Garden of Eden, no children of death, but immortal like themselves. Now these two trees then had within them life principle, whereby if you went to the one life principle, which spelled immortality, you would bring forth children which would be immortal. Now not right away. They wouldn't have gotten sin. The other tree will bring forth the bearing of children with suffering and sin and degradation. As David said, conceived in sin is shaped in iniquity. Two life principles are at stake. And what did she do? She went to the wrong principle. Now, bring forth children immortal. Just like Jesus will do now by God, having descended in the appearing. Because that's why he came down to set himself at the head of the church to raise the dead. Spiritual. 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 Not physical. He comes down to do the physical, to meet the physical in the air. As Jehovah said to Adonai, "Sit on my right hand." As the great God said to the great lover in the flesh, Jesus the Christ, the bridegroom, "Sit here, my beloved." The same one now descends to the upper atmosphere in his own free time. When he does, we will have been changed to rise to meet him. And the spirit that's the capstone that's in our midst now will incarnate himself in that body and will crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. David, son of David, son of God, son of man. Lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you name it. But Eve took the animal life. See, she wouldn't stand with the true human life, which God alone had jurisdiction. If you don't think he does, you just show me one more elect person born than God ordained, and you show me one elect person less than God ordained, and then you got a messed up body. You mean God is some kind of a foolish person when every star calls him by name, puts him in, and takes him out? See? But Eve took the animal life, and Adam stood with her and used her also sexually. He did. And God withdrew his Zoe life in himself from the earth until at the appointed time the seed of God would come and redeem us. and the Zoe light of God that was in that tree, the seed of God, Christ, could not come until the time of redemption. Seed in the tree. God had a seed. Don't think he didn't. God is not seed. God has seed. He reduced himself to it. Let me explain this. God withdrew his Zoe life as regards to immortality. Now let's go to 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. And pretty close to, I don't know, last verse somewhere in there. Yeah, we better read from 13 on. Here we are, 6th verse. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickens all things before Jesus Christ, before Pontius Pilate's witness of good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing, that's the epiphania, of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's when you have your epiphania. He has his epiphania, because the glory is the same. And that epiphania is that great revelation, the great illumination, the great moment. That's what they use the word epiphany in that sense. Which in his time shall he show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality. Take the tree of life and live forever, immortality. God himself stood there. That was your tree of life. In him was seed. Yep. Adam and Eve had the ability in them to work with God to bring forth children. She took the animal route. She did. That brought in the tares. He took the physical route, animal route also. That brought in the true human beings, the fallen sons of God. Now, God will not come into immortality until the time of the seed, when it takes a mortal body, turn to immortal, because the mortal body of Jesus died. But it wouldn't corrupt. So therefore, who alone has immortality? He's the only one that's got it. So what was that tree standing there? You tell me. Can't get by it. Adam was in the image of God and was the glory of God, and the woman was the glory of man. Let's take a look at that. You realize that, brother, sister, in the scripture? 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter? 11th chapter, beg your pardon. The 7th verse, it says, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. See? That's right. She's made in his image. She's made for his glory. Notice, it makes only Adam, therefore this scripture that I read, makes only Adam and Christ the in the image and the glory of God. The two only. And how was Adam made in the image of glory? He was made in the image of glory by creation. For God breathed into him the breath of life, which was his own Holy Spirit. Brother Branham told us that. Thus God was there in the garden to bring forth others with Adam and Eve, like them, and in like manner, and credited to Adam and Eve, as he did in Genesis, when he said, you be fruitful, you be multiply, but he had a way different from bringing forth by sex, and it comes forth in the resurrection. He will create again, not by sex, by creative act of God. Anybody who has been baptized with the Holy Ghost will come forth in that first resurrection, because every cell in that body, which will go plumb back to gases, has been touched, and get a brand new body that looks like you in the state of your glory. You won't worry about beautiful hair and beautiful eyes. You'll all be beautiful. My God, I'm so glad I'm over Hollywood. Thank God Hollywood is gone. Now, not that I don't like nice-looking people. I wouldn't mind being a little more handsome myself, but I don't crave it. Because you know what? When I got that, I want something else and something else. If I got my nose straightened, I want my chin straightened. Got my chin straightened, I want Adam's apple to hang. And the Adam's apple, I want my ears done. Then I want my hair done. Then I'm all for God's sake. I wouldn't be nobody anymore except some kind of an idiot. And I'm bad enough now. So who wants any change except a physical glorified body? I'll settle for that if I come back with a nose twice as big and looks like a cucumber. If you don't settle for that, you're worse shape than I am. Something wrong with you somewhere. You're still out in the world. So sin came, and God left until he could bring forth another son. apart from Adam, who would be in his image and his glory. And watch what it says in Hebrews. Now, this is not Adam, this is the Lord from heaven. This is the seed. Beginning verse 1, Hebrews 1. God has sundry times and divers manners spake in the time past unto the fathers in the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person. There you are. Adam was, Christ was. Now Eve was a tree. She was our garden. In the midst of the tree, in the midst of the garden. Whole thing coming to a fall. Now, Jesus redeemed all lives of all fallen sons. These fallen sons are seeds of God. And they are reborn by the baptism with the Holy Ghost according to Galatians, the 4th chapter, verses 4 to 7. So let's read it exactly as the Bible teaches, not like some Pentecost or somebody else teaches it. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the placing of sons. Now, people use the word adoption in these crazy churches, and they say, see, you weren't a son, so God adopted you. Hogwash. You talk about stupidity. You talk about stupidity. And because you are sons, God has sent forth his Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. So you were a son in God, but you weren't like a son in God like Jesus the Christ. He was all of it cut down. We were just a little tiny bit, almost like misplaced. Now, the reason I say misplaced, because I'm talking in terms of a weeny bit of a part as against the whole. Because all the attributes of God were placed in Christ, in that little sperm and egg. In you and me was placed a little tiny bit, so if we are bride, we all have a little tiny bit to make up the entire body, which he was. That's what you're looking at. See? Now, because you are sons, you don't get to be sons by baptism, brother, sister. You are acknowledged that you were a son. You get the baptism because you are a son. That's by natural election. Predestination is taking this invisible spirit into a Zoe. If it hasn't changed then, that little bit you got from God when you're in him. Now, you can't recognize it. The prophet said you can't. Because you bypassed what you normally would have had, which was a theophonic body or a spirit body. If you die, you go to it. And you'll learn a lot more than you know now. You'll be just sitting there like a bump on a log. When Brother Branham got up there in a vision, they told him things. He didn't know himself. When he comes back here, he'll tell us things we don't know. That's nice. Knowledge is the great thing. Sure, knowledge of God. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. You're recognized as an heir. If a son, then an heir. An heir through God. Thus we are seeing... That we are just seeing that the living God, who had Zoe in himself, the ability and the purpose to do what you're seeing now and explained in the Bible and brought to a perfect revelation by a prophet. He had it. And you are about to enter in to the final stages, which is the glorification of it all. No more crooked trees. No more stinging mosquitoes. Every germ burns out. AIDS in the whole bunch. Do you think God is going to have a mutated disease germ on earth called AIDS? And jump like that? He's going to burn it. There's going to be a lot of junk burn with it. Nothing against people, just the truth. Living God who had joined us out, he who is Alpha and Omega, author and creator, has been manifesting his attributes for 6,000 years to us and through us by the grace of God, and shortly will bring it all into a glorious blaze of perfection and an eternal continuity in immortal bodies of sons, just like in his own son. That's in Hebrews, the 2nd chapter. Now this is seed. I want you to know this is for the seed. And what is a seed? It's something in which there is life to bring forth a body that God has given the life. He gave a life out here for a cow. Not like a horse. For a pig. Not like a dog. Cat. Not like a mink. Weasel. Not like a pigeon. The life in the seed is there in order to take on a chemistry. And a Zoe, life principle. And God is life. I am the way, the truth, and the life, said Jesus. No man can come to the Father except by me. And that's beautiful. On the grounds, I don't care if you were a part of him back there. You had to come here to get to him. People don't like that. The great teacher, Irenaeus, God being a Savior, it was necessary that he predestined a sinner in order to give God a reason and purpose of being. God being a healer, he had to predestine a sick man. Why is this man born this way? Did his parents sin that he was born this way? Or did he do some lousy thing himself and he was struck blind by you, God? He said neither, but for the glory of God. He said, you can have your sight now. Reason and purpose of being. People struggle against this. Oh, God, we've got 1,000 years to wait for the rapture as far as I'm concerned. Because we can't seem to get through in our own puny thinking. We're not willing to lay down our own thinking and try to absorb the thoughts of Almighty God. You've got to recognize who you are. And Brother Branham said, when that bride knows who she is, she's getting out of here. I hope this message brings us one step closer. I'm sure praying for it. I better tell you that right now. Hebrews, the 2nd chapter. 9-17, but we see Jesus made a Lord of the angels for the suffering of death crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for men. Notice, by the grace of God, Jesus tastes death. Now you say, Lee, by my grace, I'm going to take your pocketbook. What are you talking about? That ain't grace, that's thieving. Grace of God by Jesus Christ. Who was in Christ, brother, sister? That's your answer. Where was the life from? You think God was given something away? Do you think there's three gods where the great Godfather made a mistake by making man? And he said, oh, my, this is terrible. How are we going to work this thing out? And the son said, well, I'll go down there and take care of the mess, Father. Do you think there were three people talking? Oh, come on, brother, sister. How could you, being a sensible person, respect that kind of theology? Any more than you can be a Hindu and wipe a little hand out of your way in case you step on him because he's your grandfather. Or something equally stupid, or somebody down the road that might be your grandson. No. Taste death for man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one source. One Father. Who's your brother? Say Jesus. Well, he's not my brother like my brother's here. Oh, yes, he is. He's the big brother. For which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. Now, why is he not ashamed to call us brethren? Because we're fine, upstanding people, hallelujah, that believe the prophet. Yes, I want to tell you, when we cross our T's, we cross our T's. When we dot our I's, we dot our I's. And we say, amen. Just exactly right. Hogwash. It's because we're one source. He's not ashamed. So I don't feel like it. Well, finally, you got lost. That means he didn't die and sanctify you. That means you're stupid, just like me. How much praise have we really got for God and his word, brother, sister? I'd like to know myself. That's why, like a lot of church, when I get around, I can get on fire preaching for God and say truth. And that we should have church 7 days a week, the way I feel right now, I can tell you that. And it wouldn't hurt us. And I can see why so much the more when you see the day approach. Not waiting for some excuse to be out of church, but waiting for everything to get out of your way, or knocking out of the way to get to church. Yes, you bet. Because that's where we get the food, that's where we get everything. Well, not everything, we get a lot of it. All right. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. God declaring his name through the Son to the church. Again, I'll put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood.
Listen, to believe that the way it's written, you've got to realize there was a time when you weren't flesh and blood. Well, come on. Here are you young kids in the church, 6 years old. And they say, hey, before I was 12, I ate Wheaties. After I was 12, I ate Twinkies. Well, before they were 12, they were somewhere else. They were 6. And before they were 6, they were 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Where were they before that? Where were you before you were born, little child? I was a sperm and an egg. Where are you before that? Well, let me see. Well, there was father, there was grandfather, great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, great-great-great-grandmother, great-great-great-great-grandfather. Yeah, that's where you were. You were in a life principle, brother, sister. And Zoe means you're out here. And Zoe means you've got it forever. Listen, don't you really feel sometimes sad about the fact that you're going to, you know, you got to die and leave all these things? Let me tell you something. You're going to feel a whole lot worse if you get over yonder somewhere and you know you can't come back because you're supposed to come back in a better situation. And the people over there already that are born again and are so happy, they can't wait to get back here to get something better. Y'all, come on, think it over. I just said enough here for every funeral ever preached in the world, and every marriage ceremony, every child born. It's the truth. God, our great tree of life, has brought forth many seeds and is bringing the living ones of this hour, the seed of this hour, to perfection. In other words, the top of the tree is where the real good first fruit is. And remember, the life is in the seed, which is in the fruit. And the child is the fruit of the womb. The child of God is the fruit of God. And the seed of God is in him. We are in the final step of 1 Corinthians 13 and 9. The perfect has come. We are in 2 Corinthians 3, the third chapter, in the face of the Spirit of God transforming us into his image to the final glory. Because there isn't any more final glory after the final glory. When you are glorified, you are glorified. And that's what it's all about. From there on, God takes over geography after geography, scene after scene, and everything after everything out there we've never even realized. And people that can sit around and study a butterfly's wing under government cost, $250,000, and spend 10 years and never get to the first little bit of it, we're going to have an eternity to look at butterfly wings. Yeah, if we want to. But everything will glorify God in its proper perspective. Because everything is of God, and this time, instead of being of God, but not for God as it really should be, and toward God as it really should be, it will be. Wouldn't it be nice if you could live in a family that everything was of you, and for you, and to you, and you were of the ineffable, glorious mind of understanding to have a family worthy of your glory. You'd say, man, I can see you just expanding right now. Wouldn't that be great? Hey, that's millennium starting out. But that doesn't end it. There's a little quirky part in there after millennium. That's the white throne where you and I are standing just as good as standing right now. Oh, yeah. I know people don't believe this, but I do. Because I realize it. We are the white throne people, brother, sister. We are reaching into it. The rest of them, they aren't there as we are there. Because, see, we are getting the judge. They haven't had him. No, we got him. You following us in? Oh, yes, this is not the same as other people. Oh, yes, this is 1 Corinthians 15, 35 to 51, which you read. About the seed. You have the seed that know you've got seed by the baptism that you know you've got the baptism by agreeing with every word the prophet said and seeing and hear what he preached. You know you're one of them. You got your change coming up right now, brother, sister, right around the corner. It's here, really. Which we'll see us soon in the rapture at the wedding supper. And as I close this message, remember, you seed, you always were eternal. And there'll come a day, if it hasn't come already, that you realize you always were eternal. You didn't start something. You already had it because you were in that tree back there, the tree of life. See? Now, let's read one little scripture and we'll go on our way. 1 John, the 3rd chapter, 7 to 9. Little children, let no man deceive you. Here comes your false anointed ones. He that doeth righteous is righteous, even as he is righteous. What's righteous? Righteous Abel, the man with the correct revelation, had the correct offering. Cain, the worshiper, had the incorrect revelation on a true offering. Didn't work. couldn't divide the word of truth. God said to Cain in the Septuagint, which I like that best of all, you have rightly offered, but since you have not rightly divided, have you not sinned? What is unbelief? To reject revelation. He that receives revelation is one with the revelator. He that receives revelation proves he's righteous as the righteous one. Even as righteous as Christ, who did not sin, nor was guile found in his mouth. We, our mouths are full of guile. Under our tongues the poison of asps. Our throat an open sepulcher. Our feet swift to shed blood and destruction. He had none of those, and yet we're counted with him. And he's not ashamed because we're one source. You say, Brother Vail, we're pulling a little something here. You bet we are. We are pulling a lot, my brother, sister. But thank God, we can't pull the shades over God's eyes. He is the one who said it. I did not write this Bible and come and say, Lord, you must recognize me on these grounds. I never said that. He said it. Now, what are you going to believe? What God said? What somebody else says? Little children, nobody better deceive you. No. At the end time, there's going to be false prophets come and tell you things. Before there's a false, there's a genuine. There he is right there. Now listen, he that committeth sin is of the devil. What's sin? Unbelief. He that comes against this is of the devil. Brother Brown said, don't take away a man's Christianity. Don't de-Christianize him. I'm not doing to de-Christianize anybody, but my God, when this man tells me nothing outside this world will come to life, and he tells me the things that he's told me, am I supposed to suddenly now become a nice guy and say, well, Brother Branham, I know you said it, but I just can't believe it. Because I got to believe you said, don't de-Christianize anybody. I don't Christianize anybody. The thing is, I just put her down flat. You do what you want. When they said, who is on the Lord's side? They didn't say, whose side is the Lord on? They said, who's on the Lord's side? Now, if I come on his side, I don't de-Christianize anybody. If I take my stand of the word, I de-Christianize nobody. Or un-Christianize, whatever you want to put it. I don't. He did it. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. I'm not doing it. I know a lot of people want to blame me for it. Maybe I'm worthy of blame. That's all right. I take that. But I can't go against his word. And I will not pit one thing the prophet said against another thing the prophet said. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil since the beginning. He turned down the revelation. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might bring to nothing the works of the devil. The false manifestation. Then what's he manifested for today? To bring out the seed. To bring it out of the ground, the corruption. For the light to hit it. To show that you are seed. You then will receive the body of the seed. That's what seed's all about, brother, sister. As far as I know. And we'll still work on it. Because I'm not satisfied with yet everything I see. Because I believe there's something else more to see. What it is, I don't know. But I hope you understand a little bit today. A little further than you did. And we're going to keep pursuing somewhere down the road. I don't know where. Until we get right at home with what is here. As we're right at home with the prophet, the false anointed, and the other things that God said. Because we must be right at home with the Word, because we claim we are the home of the Word. Remember, he said to the serpent seed, you don't have a place for the Word. Have you got a place in this word this morning? Then you got to be seed. Now, there's two seeds out there, and they can both receive an anointing. But only one receives a word. They refuse the former rain. They take the latter rain, and they walk off. Pentecost. Let's rise and be dismissed. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your love, mercy, and grace bestowed upon us. Again, Lord, taking quite a bit of time, but Lord, we know you're with us to help us concerning these things. We might get harsh in some place. Forgive us, O Lord, because it's only in meekness and humbleness, humility, Lord, that we can help anybody here. We don't try to be rough on anybody, Lord. God, help us to get away from that kind of spirit. But Lord, we do know there's certain things that are so obscure to the human mind that's been that and actually not glossed over, but grossed over by the things of the denominational dogma and creed that have blinded our eyes, Lord. And we know that every veil must be cut aside until we really see Christ. And Lord, we're trying to see now seed and seed. And by your grace, Lord, we're going to. And this is going to take us deeper and deeper into the revelation, which we know the prophet brought us, because he did bring us the understanding of seed. He talked about bride tree, tree of life. He talked all these things, Lord God. And he said he didn't have time to teach them thoroughly. And he said, Lord, it's up to ministers to break it down and teach it. And if he said that, Lord, then there's got to be a way it can be done because he said it. And so, Father, we're praying that you give us help, not to be happy in it, Lord, as though we got something, but, Lord, in the knowledge of this which is in your word, day by day, feeding and helping us to come to the place where it'll be all over, and then comes the great voice of the resurrection and the trump of God. But, Lord, until that time, may we stay with the word. May we stay with the shout, the divine order, putting in order. And Lord, we see it's a spectacular order as we see more and more of it. Because, Father, if there wasn't an understanding of our headship, to what would be the use, Lord? I just can't see anything. I can't see more understanding us, so that's great, that's fine. But Lord, when your own book says it's a revelation and of the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of Him, and you're doing it, then Lord,